Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. I am James Williams, the co-host here for this show, along with my fellow co-host here. Josh Woods is back on the show. It's been at least 3 weeks, I think, since I've actually like talked to you on the podcast, even though we've had some great combos with Lo Kenny. But how you doing, man?
A lot has gone on in those 3 weeks.
But, oh, I mean, you know, some things have happened. Yeah. Nothing big. Nothing big at all. But
I'm ready to talk about it all.
Real quick, how's the season going? How are you guys looking? And like what's the latest? Where are you guys at in the standings?
Another dub. So we're sitting at 4-1. Okay. We're like around the second, third in the West. I don't know, for some reason the West Division is just taking over in the CFL this year. And there's like four dominant teams, and then the East is just looking terrible. So we're doing good so far. Just got to keep it rolling, keep the momentum going.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Yeah. It's been a while. So I definitely wanted to check in with you on that. And, you kind of mentioned it there. And I know you've talked about it on, which podcast was it for the Wisconsin? You want to go ahead and do you remember who you had that conversation with?
The Locked On Badgers podcast. Mm-hmm.
And I have not listened to that interview yet. And the main reason why is because I didn't want to like have any sort of like, okay, this is where he's coming from. These are his thoughts. Like, I don't know anything. And I've been saying it on this podcast leading up to it for the last 3 weeks. I said, I've talked to Josh briefly about it in a text, and he said he was not happy, or he wasn't thrilled about the idea of UCLA going to the Pac, or not to the Big Ten. Is that true? Has your thoughts changed at all now that you've had some time to think about it? Where are you at on UCLA all of a sudden making the move to the Big Ten conference?
I'm on the fence. The thing is, I look at it from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Like player me.
Yeah.
Even player me would be like 50-50 of that, because I want to play in the biggest games. I want to play on the biggest stages. Mm-hmm. But if half the season I'm traveling at least two time zones away, mm-hmm. all the travel, all the weather, like it's just like a, you know, it's going to change the dynamic of the season. Like, of course I want to play at Penn State. Of course I want to play at Ohio State. But like every year it's going to be, you know, all the traveling and all that stuff adds up.
A grind on another level.
That type of stuff starts to affect a lot of other things, like, mm-hmm. you know, your mental, your body, like your sleep.
Academics.
academics.
You know what I've heard? I heard someone say, they were like, oh, maybe this will work out. I don't know. This is probably like some reporter or someone on some show. They're like, oh, maybe it'll work out for the, you know, with the travel and stuff, because you know, everyone's doing Zoom class and stuff, so it'll be fine. I'm like, I don't know about all that. Like,
not anymore. Just,
I have said, if anything, like, I mean, it's not like Zoom classes were all that easier. Like me personally, I was never a fan of online classes. So yeah, time zones, academics, mental health.
So yeah. Whenever we had games in different times, which are usually our three non-conference, mm-hmm. we might have one game that's at least beyond Texas, right? So probably two hour time zone. Majority of those times, if we played on Saturday, we left on Thursday.
Yeah.
and practice their front. Like we would, you know, would get acclimated to the time, the weather, you know, that type of stuff. You can't travel every Thursday for a Saturday game out of like the whole year. Like, I don't know if you can get away with doing that. That's Thursday's a big day for classes at UCLA. Usually you have classes that are Monday, Wednesday, and classes that are Tuesday, Thursday. So I don't think you could miss that. I mean, I don't know funding wise. If I mean, we're gonna have a lot more money in the season. But like,
the funding's no longer an issue. That's see, the whole point.
And that's I'm on the other, that's where I'm on the other side of. I didn't want them to have to cut any Olympic sports at UCLA because I think that tradition and culture is needed, and it's such a major part of what makes UCLA is all the different sports and all the different types of athletes and us having the greatest athletes in the world. So I would not want to cut those different teams, those different experiences from happening at UCLA that we have such great history in. So that's where I'm like, dang, we needed this deal for the funding, for the resources, for the platform. And, you know, if we're trying to play in national championships, playoffs, big bowl games, basketball, like, you know, you know, to have our name have more respect, then, you know, we need to do this because I feel like the Pac-12 never got the respect. So now having these primetime games, daytime games, big games, games in at Penn State, at Michigan, at Ohio State, you know, all these other, you know, things like that.
Yeah, you're going to have more games that are going to be more like what the LSU game was like at the Rose Bowl than it was against Hawaii, for example. Maybe, ideally, that's kind of the goal, maybe, in terms of a game day standpoint.
And that was one of the things I talked about on the Locked On Badgers podcast, where a thing that I'm worried about is I feel like other teams travel and they have their best games in the Rose Bowl. I think these kids are going to be coming from the snow, coming to LA to play. You know, they're going to want to put on a show and probably have their best game. And I always felt like that playing when other teams came to the Rose Bowl. It's like you don't play like this all year. And when you get in the Rose Bowl, you start acting totally different.
Like, this is not what we saw on tape at all. Like, where is this coming from?
I remember one time we played Oregon State, and now I hear doing all these different types of trick plays and all this different. I'm like, bro, what is going on?
This is not part of the game plan. That's interesting. Okay.
It's similar to like when teams come to play in Staples Center, you know, or when teams go to Madison Square Garden. Like, it's just the energy that you feel when you're in that Rose Bowl. You feel the tradition. You see the stadium. You see all the Rose Bowl stuff. And I feel like it inspires you to take your game to another level because you know so many greats that have, you know, laid it out on this grass.
And I think that's the other interesting thing too, because so it's not like they're complete strangers, you know, with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, because every year that's what the Rose Bowl is based off of, is the winner, ideally, you know, based on whatever the playoff or the BCS back in the day used to shake out. The champion for the Big Ten would play the champion for, or the Pac-12 champion would then play in the Rose Bowl. But it was like, what, Ohio State or Michigan every year? So you have a bunch of these other teams who are getting in the Rose Bowl for the first time. So there is going to be some of that excitement, right? It's like, well, damn, we never really got to play in the Rose Bowl. So now's our chance. You're going to get fan bases who've been waiting to come and play, see a game
Nebraska,
with their team in the Rose
Wisconsin.
Bowl. And like, again, in Ohio State and Michigan and teams, Penn State that have been in the Rose Bowl game, they show out. One, because it is the Rose Bowl game and everything that comes with that. But now those schools, those fan bases know how to get here. They know where to stay. They know what, you know, what fun things to do. So they're going to be down and they're going to be ready to get out of the snow. You know, you saw how Ohio State and Michigan play in the snow. Imagine if you get that kind of that's the forecast in Michigan or whatever that week. And they're like, well, we're going to California anyways. Like, you know how many, like the whole thing with the LSU and UCLA game was LSU got out of there a little bit early to come into California, but there was like a hurricane and stuff going on out there. So, and they still showed out. So you had fans and people who were probably like, well, let's get out of the hurricane. Let's go to California for a little bit and just camp out or whatever. I'm sure that wasn't the case for everybody, but like for some, but I'm, you know, I can only imagine if that's the case for a hurricane, a snow is like, yeah, we can get out of the snow for a weekend and go hang out in California. So, I mean, hopefully though, in a positive way, that generates more money, brings more money again to the program. Again, another resource to bring money. I think when you look at this move, the biggest thing was, yeah, cutting the Olympic sports was considered an option. And I don't want to say desperate, but that's where things were. They were in the red just based on how things were. I think some of it was because of previous coaches they still owe money to, and maybe things along that line. Obviously, there was the Nike deal and moving on from Under Armour, for example. I'm not sure. I can't really remember what the money situation was as a result of that move. But yeah, there were some decisions that obviously left UCLA in the red, and you know, a year or two in the Big Ten, we'll get them back in the green and making more green. So it has its benefits. I'm curious. I actually asked Martin Jarman this, because I talked to Martin Jarman about it before, but I'll ask you, what do you think this means in terms of like traditions? Because you're giving up so much tradition, which I think maybe you need to stay out of the red, but you know, and we don't know how things will shake out down the road and who else will join the Big Ten, but are we going to get a Cal game? Are we going to get a Stanford game going forward? You know, obviously USC is going to be there in the Big Ten, but there's so much other tradition. And again, just with some of the other sports too, right? Like, is it going to be Big Ten legend Bill Walton, Big Ten legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Like, how is this going to work? Like, it's just so much tradition that's not getting pushed to the side, but is being moved on from in a way.
For that reason, I think at least Cal has to be locked into the schedule the same way that Notre Dame plays USC every year. Yeah. I think Cal needs to be locked in. Stanford, we kind of get away with, but like, I feel like the Cal, you know, the big brother, little brother rivalry between the two has to keep going. And then we keep SC. So at least we, you know, we get the major, major one. But yeah, everything is shaking up. Like I was talking about another one, like it Oklahoma and Texas opened up the multiverse of college football, of, you know, like the Avengers of now everybody can cross over, like, and try and do different things, you know.
But did you ever think that USC and UCLA were going to be the next teams to jump?
No, like, idea. I
mean, no clue, right?
No, I don't think anybody saw it coming. I thought that if anything, Pac-12 was going to have an alliance with maybe the Big Ten or the, you know, with another conference.
The and ACC, I think, maybe was being talked about or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Where like they all have games, like, you know, where we play against each other and kind of form a power league of three conferences. But I didn't expect to really just jump ship that.
But in a way, and again, Martin Jarman, I can't remember the quote off the top of my head, but Martin Jarman says something along these lines, is this was a move that had to be made to survive. Like,
facts.
And two, it's like, there's all this talk about mega conferences and super conferences. And it's like, especially if you have the opportunity, you want to be in the super conference instead of having to ask to be in the super conference. Because, you know, even a team like an Oregon and Utah, those are good teams, you know, quality teams in the Pac-12 at the very least. And at this point, and if they somehow can't get a move in somewhere, they're going to have to ask. Did you ever think Oregon was going to have to ask to be in a superpower, super conference? It may happen. That's kind of where this might be headed.
I think Oregon has the power to go independent if they needed to.
Mm-hmm. But you have to be in a conference. Because the thing is, even Notre Dame's to the point where they're being pressed, because it's like, there's going to be two tracks, superpower conference, A, super conference, B, and it might almost be like the NFL where it's NFC.
That's where it's looking, where it's just two big conferences. And if you get left out, you get left out. And
that's why you got to make a move like UCLA and USC did, so you don't get left out. Even though it's almost a little, it kind of sucks for UCLA in a way, because they're like, oh, they were just tagging along on USC, and USC didn't want Oregon in and Washington because they recruit SoCal kids. Let's just get UCLA. And obviously Martin Jarman's saying that's not the case, but a lot of people perceive it that way.
Nah, they were as in a way, we're like fraternal twins.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like,
as a fraternal twin myself, I agree with that statement.
You know, like very different, but like they're a package deal, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. So I didn't see, you know, either one of us going without the other. So I don't think it's a whole, you know, that it's a package deal as far as they're both, we yeah. both bring so much.
Mm-hmm. Basketball, football, just tradition,
championships, winning mm-hmm. brand, you know, UCLA and, just, and USC
and the LA market.
Exactly. So I don't, yeah, I didn't see it like that. I just, it was a shock, you know,
it's still kind of a shock whoa. To think about, you know, how many but times yeah. I've said Pac-12, Big 10, Big 12, like I was confused. I'm still kind of confused. It's I have to like big, slow down like, when
I talk. I started saying Big Ten. Like, it's just the big conference at this point because
mm-hmm.
all this movement. But yeah, back to what we were saying. Yeah, Oregon has to get out and Stanford has to get out. I think those are the main two. And for all their sports, not just football and basketball.
But the thing is Stanford and Cal, like some people are talking about, like they might just even not have sports after a while.
Because it's crazy because Stanford got close. Weight. They win championships. They have are they? I don't know the numbers, but they might be.
I think they're leading kinda,
the. Are they leading the count right now?
Because overall, or
Stanford wins a lot of championships and things that we don't have or nobody really mm-hmm. pays attention to. So their numbers are always going up every year.
The thing with Stanford is though, I think they got really close to almost being in the situation UCLA almost got in, where they were like. We're cutting sports. And then yeah. I think the student body or the athletes or someone spoke up and said no, and they decided not to. But the fact that that's already kind of been out there or thought of, I mean, who's to say?
You have Tiger Woods as an alumni. You better ask for some money.
You better ask someone for some money or something. But I don't know, man. But the thing is, too, isn't like David Shaw, I think, a top five paid head coach in college football, let alone just in the conference. I think he's like, he's up there. Like, I think he's making like maybe not Nick Saban money, but closer to Nick Saban money than most people ever thought.
Almost 10 million, like upwards of that, probably.
Like something like that. Something where you're like, damn, sheesh. David Shaw makes that. Like, sheesh. Yeah, for sure. Like I think it's deserved. I think David Shaw's a good coach, but it's kind of like
great guy. Great guy.
He's definitely a great guy.
I'm saying of coaches that I've met at Media Day.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Media Day. You want to talk about it? Talk about it. See, how did you talk about David Shaw? You guys are allowed to talk to other coaches at Media Day?
We talk. We meet because you meet everybody. Oh, so
and you do group I pictures mean, and there's.
Yeah. So like stuff, I remember right? like the top coaches that like I remember talking to are like, yeah, like him and Coach Sumlin.
That's interesting.
Were the main two where I was like, oh, yeah, they're cool. Everybody else is. I mean, the coaches kind of standoffish or whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't really know there was some of that. Like I know sometimes on like the Pac-12 network on the Pac-12 network show, they would have it where like I think they had like some of the different quarterbacks all together on a panel. But yeah, Media Day is this week, Josh, and we'll talk about who's going to be the representing UCLA this year in a second. But you have represented UCLA at a Media Day. That was my first Media Day. I believe that was obviously your first Media Day. I think this was like 2017 or 18, something like that. What do you remember about it? Is it a long day? The thing for you guys is you don't have to travel because it's been in LA. Everyone mm-hmm. else is having to come, just two players and a coach. And maybe that it's a better bonding. Like you get to, you know, get closer to your coach and whatever other teammate. But for you guys, you're just driving down the street. But what is that day like when you show up in wherever it's going to be held at and you just kind of go through with what they have planned for you? What is that schedule like? Do you remember?
Exhausting. the thing is, like, I watched, like, the older guys go through it. And, like, I was like, I think I mentioned before, like even like just with media in general, like I watched the older guys go through it and them be getting picked on to do, you know, all the interviews and all these things. And I think one time it was after practice and Jayon Brown had to do something and like, we're in camp or like thick of it in the season. And I just remember like looking at him, like looking so drained. And I'm like, dang, that's the cons of all this, huh? Like, you when you have that type of responsibility, it can be a lot. So it was my turn. I was up to do media day, which I always wanted to do. Like, seeing the older guys do it, I was like, yeah, it's like cool. I saw Kenny, I saw Jayon do it. Like, finally my time.
Okay, wait, first, do they ask you, do you say, hey, I want to do it? Like, what is, like, what is the process for, like, I mean, it's only two guys and you're the only
defense guy. We have no say.
Oh, they told you you're going.
Yeah. The chief of staff, Bryce, I just got a call one day, like, in my apartment, like, oh, Chip said, Chip picked you to do media day. And at the time, I was coming off of my shoulder, staff's new. So I thought they were going to pick Adarius Pickett or Chris. That was my, you know, Adarius was older than me. And then Chris had, I didn't get a spring ball. So he kind of had taken a more leadership role than before. So I was kind of shocked that I got picked, but I was happy it was my turn, you know. But it used to, I guess it used to be 2 days.
It might have been. And most of the other conferences still do 2 days. I think SEC was doing 3 days, actually.
Yeah, so they squeezed it down to really want, like, you get there and you have some media stuff, like some video stuff, some training stuff, and then it's kind of chill, and you kind of get to like, we went to like Jimmy Kimmel, and then all the players we went bowling, and it was like just the players. So it was like,
I remember that.
It was cool to just kick it with everybody and like get to, you know, people that I've already already knew. And then,
is there any smack talk?
Nah, because we all kind of know, like,
y'all know relatively, what's
ahead. Yeah, like, there's no reason to talk about it because we don't see each other anyways. And at the same time, it's still like football camaraderie, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Where everybody's kind of, you know, all the same. Like, we all playing ball at D1. Like, it's cool. We're here having fun, representing our teams. Yeah, everybody's chilling. So, like, that's cool. And then the actual, like, media day, like, I think we had to be up at, like, 6, and it was nonstop till probably 6. It was probably a 12-hour, like, day of nonstop going from thing to thing.
So the Jimmy Kimmel and the bowling, that was a separate day?
That was the night before the actual media day.
So when everybody guys are coming into town and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So everybody flew in. And me and Theo drove over. We probably went. Yeah, everybody kind of comes in around like afternoon, and then like that night, you got, that's interesting, you know, yeah, dinner and.
Do they do like stuff, a banquet, and like, is it like banquet setting? And they talk to you guys about anything.
We had media training with like Yogi Roth and the Pac-12 people.
Oh, really? Yeah, you mentioned that. I was going to ask, so what kind of training? Because I know, like, the guys, like, within your program at UCLA, they're talking to you about certain things, or, you know, they prepare you and kind of work through it with you guys. But, like, what are you getting from Yogi? What are you getting from, like, the Pac-12?
Ashley,
like,
Adamson, I think at the time.
I think she's still there, yeah. Are they just, like, talking to you guys about how to, like, say things, or like what it
means, things like that, like what are things that you're interested in, like things that represent you that you'd want to bring up, how to bring it up, posture, how to approach the interview, how to go through the interview,
gotcha,
how to like reset before you go to the next interview, just things like that, and how to just represent yourself and brand and market yourself to the best that you can with this opportunity that we were given. So
it's kind of cool.
Certain things I still use. I mean, and it's cool. Built a bond with you know, somebody like Yogi, and just that advice and seeing how they operate and work, you know, you really appreciate what they do, you know.
All that kind of goes into it and stuff. And for them too, I think it helps and works as background information for them. So when they're going through the season, they can reflect back on some of that or use some of those notes, and they're getting to know you guys, right? And then that way, when they do have you on TV, even the next day, you know, they can just do that. But I remember seeing, I was going to interview Kyle Phillips. I think this was like my first year, like 2019, I guess, when Theo Howard had just transferred out, So Kyle Phillips was like kind of like going to be the number one guy in a way, even though no one really knew that at the time, I think to some degree. But it was like he was chatting it up with Yogi, and I was like, oh, are you guys like friends? Or like, how do you guys know each other? But like,
well, Yogi also too came, I think he comes once a year to talk to the team. Mm-hmm.
Again, I think goes media, camps and stuff, yeah.
Media training. He does a media training with the whole team in there.
Okay,
interesting. Which is usually pretty dope.
That's cool. Yeah, and Yogi's a good dude too. I've had a chance to talk to him and pick his brain a little bit about some different things. So he's a good dude, for sure. But you're at the mercy of the media sometimes during that media day, and you're sitting in a podium, and it's almost like you can't leave. It's almost like you're in timeout in a way. And you just have all these random people. Some people you'll see familiar faces. You'll see me, or you'll see people who cover UCLA. But then you'll get all these other people from.
You're talking about the main stage one.
On the main stage, yeah. And you get all these teams.
Because we were one of the last. Because that's one of the last things that I think we had to do.
Oh, okay. During that.
And that's the one where it's like a 30-minute session.
Right.
Of just everybody just hammering you with questions.
Just random people
with the lights. Yeah.
And what is that like? Like how can you even prepare for something like that?
Kind of understanding what was going on as far as it was Chip Kelly's first year. I'm coming off an injury. Mm-hmm. Moore's gone. New offense, new defense.
So it was an interesting it was an interesting media day for you guys.
6-7 last year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like after one interview, it felt everything was almost the same because I'm getting the same question. So it just kind of just came repetitive. Mm-hmm. At the same time, by that one, we're pretty tired. I know me and Theo were pretty tired. Mm-hmm. I remember right before that, sitting on the couch next, me and Theo sitting on the couch next to each other, and Chip coming over and being like, I asked us how we're doing.
And that's after the thing people don't realize, and I think I don't even realize, is like you're doing whatever radio shows, whatever podcasts may be there. You're doing like the actual Pac-12 network, whoever else might be there.
We're slotted all day from the different videos that we had to do, the different promos, so many things we had to read, the teleprompters, like so many of those type videos. We're doing the ones for the Rose Bowl. We're doing the ones for the Pac-12 commercials, like all those different types of things. Mm-hmm. And then we're also doing, there's a whole nother hall of just radio people and TV people of like, I'm here for 15 minutes. All right, next one. And the next one for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, and just going all the way around doing radio for other teams, other cities, you know. So like ESPN, all these different types of ones. So
every ESPN city and every,
As I'm saying, like I said, it was about 12 hours from the videos they put makeup on us. That was kind of annoying. Really? So I couldn't touch my face. They had me looking kind of dark and bronze. I was like, yeah, that does not look like me.
Oh man, hide these pictures. Like,
So
I didn't even know I didn't even realize they would do that, but I guess it makes sense in a way.
Yeah. For all the, all the promo type stuff. So you're really just exhausted. But I mean, at the same time, yeah, it was cool. I mean, me and Theo were already close. So it was like cool having him to always if I was like, I got to go find Theo, okay, I'm waiting for 5 minutes. Let me go find Theo, see what Theo's doing. And also it's like, that was like the beginning of kind of me and Chip's relationship as far as like being able to talk, like us having more conversations.
Right.
Cause it was like select times where it's just me and him, you know? So it's like, I had opportunity to have like bigger talks with him. And like I said,
that helps some later of the other in the coaches. Season too.
Yeah. Just having that level of respect and him getting to know me more, me getting to know him more. Yeah. I always feel like that's very important for a player coach relationship.
Yeah, no, good deal. Sorry I cut you off there. But yeah, it's just it's a grind. And that's why I wanted to ask you about it, because it puts things in perspective. And again, for me, as someone who's going to Pac-12 Media Day again at the end of this week. It's kind of interesting.
My advice to you would be try to ask something that other people aren't asking.
That's what we try to do. That's the thing.
I feel like people don't. Some people be asking the same thing.
No, they don't.
Like my favorite questions would be like, random stuff, or like people asking me about people that I know that they don't like. I was asking about like that's about Stephen Carr.
Like things like, you know, like, see, I would know that, but the dude from Washington's not gonna know to ask you that. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. And so that's why I kind of take the responsibility, and some of the other UCLA guys do too, or you have some media outlets that are a little bit different in the way they approach things. So I remember they asked DTR, like, what is your favorite class, or what class are you taking? Or like, you know, what are you doing? Like, you know, things like that. What is your favorite subject? So no, I totally agree. And I try coming up with some things, but here's the thing though. And here's what's, I think, wacky about the whole thing is they'll have Chip Kelly talking across the other side of the room from where you guys are talking.
Yeah, yeah, so we're both in different corners
at the same time. So I don't know if someone's asked you a question already, because I was at Chip. So by the time I'm done talking to Chip and someone's asked you a question and I go and say, tell me about your injury, I know you're coming back from it, someone's already asked you that three different times. You know what I mean? And so yeah, sometimes I'll try to come up with
or I'm trying to be nice, but I'm over it. Like,
you're over it. All right, exactly. Yeah. And then and then that's the problem. It's like, man, Josh was kind of short with me. I don't know why he was so short with his answers. Like, that was never the case with me, but like, I can imagine with some, but that's why, like, I like having this podcast and talking to you about these different things, because it puts things into perspective. Like, well, yeah, if he's here, he's must be the most media trained guy at UCLA. And he must have prepared for this like all week or something. And you're like, no, they just picked me and I'm here. Like,
yeah, like, that's what people, I think, you need to understand when interviews and like, if somebody's, you know, slips up or says something or like seems a certain way, you got to understand the context and the background of whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe this person was going through something and got put on the spot to do it, or maybe they're tired, or maybe they weren't prepared for it, you know, the heat of the moment. So that's one of the things, like, where it's a problem, I think, with a lot of times, like, social media and media in general is just like trying to judge somebody on one instance or whatever like that. And
yeah.
And then trying to take it and run with it and take a quote out of context.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll see an interaction you have with the teammate and be like, oh, they don't get along. And then you'll have some people will probably write a whole story about it or something along those lines. But so those who are representing who are going to be representing UCLA at Pac-12 Media Day. And this is going to be a fun media day just because the whole USC UCLA thing. But John Gaines on the offensive line is going to represent the offense, and you're going to have Stephen Blaylock representing the defense. Now, I find that interesting. One, I guess it's pretty much been a different defensive guy every year, including the but for the offense, the last like 2 years, and we were talking about this before the show, it's been like all DTR, and I was definitely expecting it to be DTR again. I don't know how he got out of it, or maybe he didn't. I don't know.
Time,
I mean,
you know, yeah, something new.
But I don't, it is kind of time for something new. Like, I think John Gaines is pretty good.
Yeah, John Gaines is great. I'm surprised not Zach Charbonnet.
I thought, if anything, I thought they were maybe going to skip, like, not do the offense defense thing and put Zach Charbonnet and DTR both up there. I don't know why. I just assumed that's what they maybe.
I've seen that. Yeah. Okay. So with John Gaines, great, great guy, you know, really smart, really supportive, just like a great teammate, good leader type guy since day one. He started kind of in that servant role of like listening to leaders and like just being a great teammate, right? And then he was able to end up in a leadership role. And I know he probably is one of the guys that keeps the shit rolling, which is good.
Definitely.
Interesting. Great cook. So.
Ooh, I didn't know that. There you go.
John Gaines.
Let me write this down. Where's my pen? All right.
We had a Thanksgiving meal cooked by Tito and John Gaines.
I know,
and
Tito is a cook.
Chase Griffin helped a little bit, but John Gaines John Gaines is almost on the same level as Tito as chefing. So if you have any questions about serve him up some questions about food and cooking for sure.
What did he make, do you remember specifically what he made or what he was doing?
So many different types, honestly. Like, he would just experiment and make all types of things. He can, you know. But he got that Milwaukee cooking in him. So good stuff. Good soul food vibes. And Stephen Blaylock, the thing is, people don't know how like big of a personality he is, because he's one of those guys where in public he might seem, you know, really focused, he's like locked in, quiet.
Yeah.
But in the locker room, once he's comfortable, like, Blaze rapping music out loud, G Herbo all the time, lots of talking, jokes, laughter, all that. Questions for big anime guy.
I'm writing all this stuff down.
And of course, I mean, he comes from the Bosco lineage, so
yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably always asked about stuff like that, but I'm excited for him just to be able to get this experience and this exposure of people getting to see his personality, hopefully, and him be able to brand and market himself, especially as a defensive guy. That's one of the things we always want, is to be able to brand and market ourselves more, because I feel like the offense always gets love, you know.
And so, it'll be interesting for him too, just because, like, to me, I'm reading this as he's going to be the defensive captain. Maybe even if he's not the captain, he's going to be like one of the guys.
He should be the most experienced player on that defense. I'm pretty sure.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Since Chip has got here, non-transfer, like since day one.
That's true. Mm-hmm. No, that sounds about right. And so again, I kind of wasn't surprised that it was him, but in a way, I guess it still kind of was. And I think too, with the transfer guys, they're not really going to put him out there yet for the media day,
like,
stuff.
Only other guys I could think of is like Bo Calver and Mo Osling.
I kind of thought it was going to be Bo, to be honest, but Blaylock should be fun. I'm going to ask him about the anime stuff. That'd be kind of cool. As we kind of wrap things up here, though, I think it's worth mentioning, and maybe something I probably should have mentioned over the last podcast or two. And I think, Josh, this is something we'll talk more about in detail and probably be its own episode. Did you see the stuff about Thomas Cole and him retiring? He had he opened up about his suicide attempt. Do you have just any initial thoughts on that at all before we go home?
I'm glad he's still here. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad he was able to keep going. And it's just word to anybody out there struggling and going through anything. Always find somebody to talk to. You know how I take, you know how serious I take the topic of mental health. So if you need help, get help. And you're blessed. You're still here. You're still alive to keep going.
No, definitely. And yeah, we'll talk more about it. I'll have some interviews as well. I'll talk to John, I'll talk to Stefan, I'll talk to Chip, and we'll try and play some of that here on the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you guys have a good one.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
So, you've got an idea for a business, the store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out, everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.